This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior.
Hey James.
Hey Clyde, good to see you.
Here we are, Talk of Asian Marketing.
Here we are again, and we seem to have a lot of stuff on food recently.
Food's a biggie. Food's a big one in Chinese culture, of course. Can never get away from food.
You really can't. In fact, I was just in Carrefour the other day.
Yeah.
And they've even got snacks as you're going round. You get in store, where you can pick up a snack. So, I mean, it's such a big thing here, isn't it? When you're thinking about food, we're in the retailing situation. It's just
can't get away from
spread
it.
Out. And the one that really kind of interests me recently is this idea of steak. And I know you've been here a while, and you think of steak as being kind of very American.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's very much here.
Very much, and that's kind of an interesting twist, you know. In Chinese cuisine, steak does not play a big traditional role. But that's kind of the interesting thing. We'll have some shows later that look at some other points, such as KFC, maybe. We've had our McDonald's show.
Mm.
A lot of foods that you would not think, you know, you wouldn't think really fit in the end, somehow get worked in, you know, get it worked into the into these kind of niches.
And of course it doesn't naturally lend itself to Chinese situation, because you're not going to pick up a whole steak with chopsticks.
Especially that's you know, when you're thinking that, you know, quarter inch, you know, big Texas steak, you know, that just doesn't really fit much of an image. Not to mention you have the whole religious aspect of it.
Yes,
so a lot of people don't eat much meat, and then a lot of people will not eat beef meat at all.
Sure.
So this is a little bit problematic, right? But if we look back over the years in Taiwan, we can see China, Hong Kong too, we can see that steak is there. And the funny thing is, the first time I saw steak in Taiwan was in the night market.
Ah, yeah, for sure. That's kind of a real interesting place to see it, isn't it?
Yeah,
because you're walking around and suddenly there's
steak. Right
there,
right. And you'll just have these little tables sitting out in the night market, which is true for all the noodle stands and everything. But right on the table is a wooden plate, a wooden board.
It's a wooden board, basically.
Recessed with a metal plate in it. Mm. And that metal plate comes right off the stove, right from a hot fire. It's sizzling. They have a steak right on there that's been cooked and put on there, and an egg frying right now, not even done yet, frying right now. And what else? Noodles.
Usually noodles. It's like an underlying bed of noodles. I mean, noodles, rice, noodles.
Right.
It's got to be
right.
there.
Right. So that's pretty normal. The noodles, and lots of times the noodles will get stuck to the plate. You got to peel them off because it's so hot. And that is kind of your typical introduction to steak in Taiwan. I think you can find this in Hong Kong. We've seen it in China also. I haven't seen it much in Singapore, though, but I haven't looked around that much. Maybe it is there. But that's going back years ago. I think that was the only place you'd find them. That was kind of the only introduction you get. And people go to the night market, have that adventure, try something different. They'd be on the little table having their steak. Now, it wasn't good steak.
Mm.
I'm not an expert on steak, but I can say they weren't very tender steaks.
No, they tend to be that real thin kind of, almost
right.
a little bit more than minute steak,
yeah,
didn't
exactly,
they, basically.
Exactly.
And, I mean, I guess it lends itself in a way to this situation because of the way it's cooked, basically. It doesn't require that whole Western
Easy.
Oven and
right.
so on.
They just throw it on the fire, get it over with, and there's not a big issue there.
Yeah, it's fast.
So
it's
you
easy.
Never, you know, if you had been here 20 years ago, you would think this is not a market that's going to develop very much.
Yeah.
However, around maybe 15 years ago, Ponderosa came over. And there are other steakhouses, like in Taichung, there's a Chris's Steakhouse, which is a really high-end.
Mm.
So you do have some really high-end restaurants that come in. And then you have your more medium restaurants that come in and kind of educate the consumers, I think, about what steak is. I think there are other kinds of steakhouses we can see around Taiwan also.
There are, sure. And I mean, when we think about the cooking of it, I think this is an interesting part just to reflect on for a little moment or two, because of course typically you have that channel that you've talked about there, like the night market, a very sort of casual kind of place where you can go and eat something.
Just out
it's
in the
thrown
open.
On the fire.
Right.
It's cooked, it's real fast. Often you get your sort of ketchup, your chili sauce, you eat it. It's pretty good, I have to say.
You have to be pretty hungry for it to be
That's right.
really good.
Maybe I've been hungry each time.
Yeah,
but
so.
It makes sense at the time. Then we go up kind of to somewhere where you get more of a restaurant situation. And I think there you tend to get those fatter steaks where they're a little bit more like the traditional Western US kind of steak, thick, juicy. And there it's interesting because they'll often ask you, how much do you want it cooked? Do you want it a 1 or a 10 or a 2 or a 3? And my mother-in-law is real particular on that. Yeah,
she says, does she like her steak?
I like it 5.
Ufenso. So that's like medium rare.
Medium rare. Right. So there should be a little bit of blood coming out of it. And quite often when we go and, I mean, I say quite often in terms of when we go and she's there, she usually eyes the steak, cuts it open, has a look. And I'd say about 90% of the time she rags straight onto the service staff and say, that's not 5, that's 6.
Too done.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
And that's really
unusual because most people want it way overdone.
That's it, yes. So she's very precise on that.
Interesting. Where did she develop that habit from?
Well, that was the point, because my wife said, take it easy a little bit. She said, I've been eating steak for like 20 years, even since you were a kid. You know, we used to go then. I know what a 5 is, I know what a 6 is, I know what a 7 is. So very particular about
what makes her like it so rare, though. That's really unusual. You know, most people are chifenso at least.
That's it. I don't know why she likes the taste. I guess it's just a personal thing for her, and I guess that's why she's so particular about it being 5, not 6 or 7. So kind of interesting. And so she's kind of into it, and I think there's a certain generation.
And what kind of restaurant does she go to then?
I mean, this is I can't remember the name. In fact, it's closed down now. So we went there like 5 years back, and then once or twice since then. But just a fairly localized restaurant, nicely done, but focusing on the steak. And you see some of those around. We've mentioned
these
like Ponderosa.
Kind of local. But this was a local one, right?
This was a local
one. I think the local ones tend to be, they fall into two kind of general categories. One is a buffet style, and so they have a salad bar or something like that with lots of mayonnaise, always lots and lots of mayonnaise to put on there.
We see that in the Ponderosa photograph.
Ponderosa does it, but this is, I think Ponderosa's a somewhat separate category. So the local ones would have just a very narrow selection on their buffet. They have the cooking area, which usually, if not always, is very near the entranceway or the walkway, the sidewalk. And right there is the fire, the iron, the grill. They
in fact,
put the steak
just,
right there.
That fits with the video we've got just here, basically, where you can see as we walk in, right on the front there, you've got the guy cooking the
right
food.
Right there in front. Yeah.
I think it's a man-woman kind of small restaurant, so the man's often cooking, the wife's serving. There's usually two or three younger, maybe students, maybe one might be the daughter, I'm not sure.
Working, yeah.
And then right as we go into the restaurant, inside, you've got that typical simple kind of service scape, just sitting around with the
tables,
old, that's
chairs,
it.
That's just about it.
That's
right?
It, yes. I mean, it's so typical, isn't it? What you can see here in the clip that we're looking at. And you sit down, and here we typically, you can get maybe a little bit of bread to start off with, which we've chosen.
Some garlic that's it. On it and things like that.
You get that kind of option. And then as we've got here, we've got a soup, and then you roll into the sort of steak dish, just like you described. I mean, that's what you described earlier on that we were talking about, is just what we're looking at here.
Right.
Those noodles, the egg, and
on
the top
it's
the steak.
It's the night market thing, just moved inside,
absolutely,
indoors. Very simple tables and chairs. Yeah. If you're a little bit more special, they'll have a salad bar in the center or off to the side with a limited selection, and that's just about it. But the same way, you get the wood with the iron plate in there, comes off sizzling, set down in front of you.
That's right. And then the people bring it in, usually you just have your napkin, they hold a second because they know you want to.
Oh yeah, they hold up the napkin. I haven't done that in so long, right? So they come up and hold up the napkin for you, and that's to stop it from spitting on you.
That's
from
right, because often you've got the shorts on or something like that, short pants on. And so, and I say, we see all that in the video, and it was interesting you say, it's just like the night market brought inside.
Because brought inside,
that's just what my sister-in-law said to me.
Oh, really?
I said, really? But they've got one of those downstairs? I said, yes. It's just like the night market.
You can go to the night market without going to the night market.
Great. Yeah, that's great. So they love that. We've been there a few times. It's all those things. It's convenient. It's pretty good, pretty tasty.
What about the price?
Cheap. You know, you're talking local. I think we pay like about $150 for everything.
$150 NT, so about $5 US dollars, 4 or 5 $5-6 US.
Yes, it's moving up and down now because the old exchange rate. Yeah. So cheap and pretty good, pretty filling, and of course convenient. So,
well, there was a rumor around town a while. That was, we're going back about 15 years, I think. There was a rumor that a lot of the meat was imported horse meat.
Ah, interesting. Yes.
Nobody was going there because of the quality of the steak. But that's the idea. I think at that point there wasn't much education about what steak is. And this has been the situation in China too. Even McDonald's faced a problem in this, convincing people to eat the beef.
Yes.
And that beef stands for something. And so, you know, this, it may be natural to think, oh, everybody thinks beef is kind of your upper class kind of thing you eat. But in Chinese culture, it just didn't exist as a concept.
Sure.
And so no one is thinking that way.
Yeah,
so
no you one have actually to, knows what it's like.
Right,
as well,
exactly.
Yes.
So you need to educate about that. I think another kind of format we see, it developed maybe in the late 90s, mid 96, 97 time, you started getting more of these, were these really big steakhouses.
Yes,
and these would be much bigger than your regular restaurants. And they'd be a little bit more complicated. That is that you would go and usually pay one price, and you could go up to a window and choose what kind of steak you want, or maybe even return multiple times choosing different steaks with these big salad bar selection and all-you-can-eat kind of buffets. And they would be really huge places, really, really large. Sometimes
sort of mass eating that we tend to see here, which is kind of popular, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very popular. And you can go there with big groups of people. You drive in with a bus of people. I mean, we're talking seating for maybe 200 to 300, right? And then they've expanded. They'll even have like Japanese sections. Mm-hmm. They'll have different kinds of barbecue sections. So they have all these sections, but steak is always there, and it's called a steak house.
Yes, that's like the core theme.
The core
isn't
theme.
It? Yes,
even though the steak actually now just makes up one piece of multiple locations inside there, it's still called steak house. Yeah. In Taichung, they call them the Taichung Steak House. And these things are huge, and they're a really good bargain. You get for about the same price, and you get all you can eat. It's kind of gross, though, I have to say. Every time I go there, I think it's a great deal, but after you sit there eating and there's hundreds and hundreds of people all around rushing around getting all this food, you feel, oh, man, it's like,
I feel like cattle
yourself.
I think you feel the same way. I often find that sort of situation so exhausting because you've got so much noise going on, so much clamor. It is so now intense.
People love it. But I think that you've had a kind of a mind shift a little bit. So you get these... You know, your low end with your low quality steak. Mm. Then you get your steak houses with a little bit better, but still basically the same. Mm. Then you get your big places, which have different selection. But then I think there's been a lot of push maybe for a higher end.
Yeah.
And Ponderosa is an example, an American company that came to Taiwan, and they've done fairly well. I think we can look at some pictures I have here of Ponderosa.
That's right.
And Ponderosa, I remember in the early 90s in Taiwan, was doing okay. It was something different. People would go there. You pay one price and you get one meal, one main dish,
yeah.
So like a steak. Okay. But then you have a salad bar and many other things to choose from, not just salad, tacos and all these kinds of other things, sweets and snacks, and ice cream, drinks, and you can eat as much as you want for that same price. And they have
like a buffet price.
Yes, maybe. Yeah, right. But your steak is still just one.
What are we talking about? I've not been actually, so it must be 800 a head, something like that.
Not that much. It's about 500. Depends on what you choose. So if you choose like a filet mignon steak would be the highest one. Maybe I think around 600 NT. So it's about $20, a little bit less than $20, and that comes with the buffet, all you can eat. And then the lower end stuff, like they have hamburger steak, is just talking like $10 for that. Right. So I think the prices are not that different than the U.S. prices, actually. And I've been, Ponderosa has been around the U.S. for quite a while. But they were quite successful for a while. Then they dropped off. Their business dropped off in the late 90s. And I don't quite know why. We went there, the food wasn't good, the service wasn't good. I just recently went back, though, and I saw some big changes. And that really leads into what we're going to be talking about later. And that is this, how steak kind of develops a different image. But then it can be localized. And if you can grab that local metaphor, that local feeling, you can really turn it into a big success. And that's what we talk a lot about on this show, right? We talk about this often, this localization. What Ponderosa has done differently lately is you go in, you choose the same thing, your steak, but now the salad bar, right next to it, has a fake brick area.
It's like a brick wall that we see in the photo, isn't it?
It's paper mache, right? It looks like a brick wall. Inside that brick wall, what are there? There are two little stands. What are those stands? Are exact duplicates of noodle stands on the street.
Yeah, I mean, when you see it and you say, "Where is this?" If you got the shot right, people would say, "Well, you know,
you would
the
never
vendors
guess.
Just walked off.
Right.
He'll be back
right.
in a minute."
Right, you'd never guess. They, you know, they have the boiling water split off into four different parts, and you put your noodles in with the metal cup down there. Boil your noodles, pull it out, and you get noodles. I went there with my kids. That's the first thing they want to. You know, they pick right up on that. That's the thing they want. And it has the regular Western buffet also, but that kind of added thing. Also, you sit down, something different happens. Immediately when you sit down, a waiter or waitress comes over and gives you a hot drink. And then fills it up over and over again, which has never happened before. Before it was all up to you to do it yourself. And then they came around, they also give little prizes. They come to each table and say, "Hey, you choose a prize if you have kids." They give you a little contest certificate if you don't have kids. And so there's a lot more going on there. And I was kind of a little bit taken back. And the food was much better than it was before. And I thought, what's going on? Well, what's really going on is a lot of competition in the market.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because the way that they're pushing there is on, obviously, the quality of the core product.
Right.
And not only that, but then carefully thinking about the contact. Because within restaurant, within the service situation, customer likes that personal touch, that little bit of contact. So I think they've been quite clever there. The game, the participation part, they put right back in, they created that little bit of excitement.
Yeah, it's not enough just to be Ponderosa imported anymore. It's not enough.
Yeah.
And the reason it's not enough is because the market itself has changed. There's a lot more knowledge about the steak now. And we have some new companies that have really taken off in the market.
And I think the one that obviously we're sort of moving to, because you're saying the market's becoming competitive, is this company called Wonping. And that's what we're going to major on in a whole series of shows. So, I mean, Wonping's story is kind of interesting because Mr. Day, who's the chairman of the company, several years back, he'd had one failed business. It hadn't worked out
what
too
was
good.
Other business?
It was a theme park.
Ah.
He started with a theme park and got a group together.
That was big in Taiwan for a while, yeah.
That's right, yeah. So it sort of made sense, and then it didn't work out, and in fact, he has a family business that's in the hat industry, and you know, like some of these other entrepreneurs, like Branson and like the EasyJet guy, he sort of said, "No, I'm not going to stay in the family sort of business. I'm going to move out, do my own thing."
Yeah.
He went for the entertainment business with one of these theme parks.
So he had cash flow from family business already.
No. The theme park was pretty much self-funded out of his friends and connections.
Wow.
It folded up. That I think was quite a dark sort of troubled time. And then three friends, they were going to Taipei, networking, I guess, and they went to dinner with one of these big magnates. I can't remember if it was the chairman of the Taiwan concrete plant. And there they had a great steak.
Up in Taipei.
They said,
"Wow, there's some kind of steak
that's
shop."
Right. They said, "Wow, you know, fantastic steak." And they, of course, they're discussing. They said, "Hey, this is our new business, basically."
So they just came up with it that
night. That moment, they said, "Hey, there's some mileage in this."
Yeah.
And Mr. Dai and his three associates are sitting around talking about this further, and then they approached the chef in the restaurant and tried to tease him away and
hire him right away.
That's right. Said, "Hey, you know, we're going to do business," but this guy was pretty loyal and he wouldn't come. So then they spent quite some time perfecting the recipe for this steak, because it's not the traditional throw it on the griddle kind of steak. It's marinated in sauce and it has a sort of dry but quite unique kind of flavor, so they wanted to replicate that. So I think they spent a lot of hours in the kitchen
working on the steak
trying to get this core recipe right, basically. And then they opened one through to seven restaurants. So they started in Taipei, Taichung, down in the south.
These were called Wonping steak.
I at the time, I think they were called, I think they were branded as Wonping. So they started off fairly quickly. But Mr. Dai had that feeling, you know, "I've got a restaurant going, I've got some steak in there, but I haven't got what I want in terms of the service feeling going, in terms of the customer experience."
So at that time, they didn't have any special service emphasis?
No particular service emphasis, but Mr. Dai got that feeling of what he wanted to do. and what he was seeing in the stores was not what he wanted to happen. So this kind of evolves our story, basically, right from the idea of the being in the night market, very simple, basic steak.
Basic, yeah.
To, as you say, the Ponderosa idea of making it a little bit more sophisticated around the steak product, to now people saying, well, we want a little bit more, you know, the steak plus a nice service scape, on the steak plus some nice service. Mm-hmm. And that was the environment that he was trying to create.
So he knew from the beginning he wanted to, number one, make a core product.
Yes, that's steak. Right, a core steak.
And then adds on the service idea.
That's right. Or create an experience that was different, that was sophisticated, mm-hmm. that was cultured, that was elegant and smooth. Because his background is from art. Mm-hmm. He's an art graduate.
I didn't know that.
From Taidar. Taiwan University. So he had that sense of, very strong sense of ethic, really, in terms of beauty and smoothness. And so he went out to recruit someone to help him do a lot of the HR, the human resource part. And he'd met someone from McDonald's and been very impressed. He was quite a senior manager in the McDonald's.
So he met a senior manager from McDonald's.
That's right. Well, a few years back, he'd seen him do a presentation, was impressed, got the contact details, as so often happens, and then he sort of made contact and they started to talk more and realised that perhaps there was some synergy between them. Mm. He came on board and started to put a lot more procedure.
And at this time, they're still like at 7 stores or something.
That's right. Mm. But then, as this colleague joined the firm, he started to sort of proceduralise the service, make it more consistent, create the sort of experience that they were
looking
for.
That's the whole McDonald's thing.
That's right. Well, McDonald's in the sense that he took a lot of the thinking. Right. And you sometimes do have a sense of that overlay when you're in there, and I'm sure we'll see that as we go into the next shows.
So they adopt a kind of systematic approach.
That was it. Right. And they designed systematically points of contact from the core right through to when you get in the restaurant, to moving from the entrance of the restaurant to your table. What happens at the table.
So they're so detailed. Right?
Very, very detailed. Blueprinted it out. These are the steps. Each step is described. They train their staff. Very, very systematic. So what's the result? Well, we're going to see, of course, in our shows some of the results.
Yeah, we're going to visit the Wamping Empire.
So we're going to visit all bits of the empire, which is good. Well, not quite all bits of it, because they've grown from their steak into the Taban Mu, which is like a teppanyaki-style restaurant.
Kind of, yeah. It's an interesting one. Yeah,
so the Japanese...
Basically, three biggies.
Yeah.
And what they think are three biggie market segments, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So the Wamping Steakhouse.
The main steak.
And that's the high end, right? And the Taban Mu, which is more of a kind of Japanese motif. Mm. That's the medium.
Yeah, it's
market.
Still, in terms of price range, they're still in the same space, though. Mm-hmm. And then the third one, we're going to Tasty, which is basically
Tasty Steaks. Is it called Steaks? Tasty Steaks.
Just Tasty.
Just Tasty.
Just Tasty, which is...
Their logo's everywhere, it just says Tasty.
It's big red, Tasty. And interesting there, because how did that evolve? Quite Chinese in the way it evolved. They'd actually saturated the local Taiwan market with the steakhouse,
the Wamping
steak. And of course, they were facing a situation where it wasn't viable. One of the restaurants, several, weren't viable in terms of revenue. So, you know, I guess in the West, we'd be pretty quick to cut off that,
fire people.
But very interesting, because the reaction was, I don't want to fire anyone.
Oh, really? So he kept it open just to keep everybody hired.
So, yeah, let's not close it. What can we do? Why don't we create a new brand? But we'll make it a step down so that it increases footfall, basically. And that was the genesis of Tasty. So that was one element. It was to avoid making staff have to leave.
Making them
so
redundant, yeah.
So, you know, the clear understanding of what Wamping was about. They became the staff for Tasty, and of course the other key dominant logic was the price point for Tasty was roughly 50% of the main Wamping steak brand. Yeah. So suddenly it put it into the market for people like students, mm-hmm. at a special occasion, people will go there. So they're kind of quite clever in the way that evolves, so we'll see that too.
Yeah, what we end up with is moving from a market where steak is kind of unusual, low end, you go out to the night market, you get it, you maybe go to a steakhouse, to now you get this idea that it really is something special if you're going to Wamping, and they have this, I think they've really educated the market and everybody's aware of it. You know, I talked to my son, you know, have you been to Wamping? He's, oh, no, it's too expensive. Everybody knows that's, you know, like a really extreme. Down to the lower end, which is the tasty, which is, you know, everybody can afford. And again, emphasizing that, educating the consumer about what the steak is. And so you move from one situation to a very different one. And that is through, I think, Wamping taking advantage of being at the right time. And see, if they were earlier, it would have been really hard.
Yes, it wouldn't have made sense in right, terms of people willingness just can't, to play
just
like
can't
at a price
get it,
point.
Right? Not that many outlets. You know, I mean, Ponderosa's, you know, very limited. Right. Now, that you could survive, but not this many.
And they're talking here of a Wamping steak, the top end, taking about a 500,000 population, so one per 500,000. So
one outlet per 500,000.
That's it. So, you know, that's a fairly low density, yeah, basically, right, that kind of level of outlet.
Right.
But they've been incredibly successful. I see that about 3-4 years back, Accenture and Local Group ranked them top in terms of service nationally. And just a couple of months back, they've been again awarded by the Global Views magazine, which is an international magazine. They've had people like Carly Fiorini in there. So they've got a cute sense of what good service is about. They were again, they've just been ranked number one in Taiwan again for service. So we're quite excited in this whole show to take a look at what.
Yeah, we're going
to
take a series, right? We're going to go to all three locations.
Okay, so that will be the next three shows.
Three shows, and we're going to start off, of course, with a real mouth-watering experience of going to the Wamping Steak first
in Shanghai.
That's it.
Taobanwu in Taiwan. And then Tasty in Taiwan.
These are
the next three shows.
Next three shows, and of course we've got some photos as well from Tasty in Shanghai as well. So a lot of variety, really looking forward to it.
Yep, okay, see you next week.
This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Meow, 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 meow